I'm pleased to introduce my guest today, attorney Sean Steele, one of the most successful personal injury attorneys in California with three offices, including one right here in San Francisco. He practices personal injury law and represents injured people all across California. Mr. Steele, thank you for taking the time to join us and welcome to the show.
Dr. Ed, it's great to be here. It's great to be on this show. I like the station a lot.
Great, thank you. First question, do people always need an attorney if they are involved in a car accident?
Oh, goodness, no. Sometimes we're too attorney dependent. I wear two hats here. I am a lawyer. I love what I do. I believe strongly in personal injury. I believe strongly in people taking individual responsibility and in compensation for injuries. But I don't believe in that every single case requires a lawyer in a lawsuit in a courtroom. In fact, many of them don't. And we recommend self-help. In America, you don't need to have to get a lawyer every time you have some kind of a hurt. And so I specialize in the serious injury, the catastrophic injury, the life-changing injury. But if you got a bump on the road, and your car's hurting and you have a minor injury, I strongly recommend small claims courts. It's cheaper, better, faster, and it's much more popular, and everybody in America knows how it works.
Well, I have to say, this is probably the first time that I've heard a prominent personal injury attorney say that, but it's a refreshing answer. What's the first thing people should do when they get in a car accident?
Well, you got to keep your senses. We've all had, if you live in California for more than a few months, there's a risk of that, and I've had my own, and boy, I was the worst, customer in the world. But basically, you got to assess what's going on. I always carry a camera in my car. That's invaluable. You cannot believe how valuable a camera can be. And I get those cheap cameras that you get in the drugstore, the throwaway cameras. So that's just a smart idea. I always call the police. You might not know if it's a big or large, but the last thing in the world you want is you're innocent, and the guy is saying, hey, look, we can settle it out of court. Five out of ten times, the next day, you're the guilty guy, and they'll never pay you. So I always call and get the police in, and that's going to be critical. Everybody's got a cell phone. Heck, if you don't have a camera, you can use your cell phone and take a bunch of pictures. Take a picture of the other guy. That's very valuable. Take a picture of the other guy's car and his license plate. That's very valuable. And then thirdly, exchange information. Fourth, if there's any chance that you feel any kind of pain or any injury, don't delay. For example, if the ambulance comes, don't be a hardhead. If the ambulance comes, there's a reason, because it was a pretty high impact. And if the paramedics recommend that they should take you away, well, you know what? Have them take you away. That's extremely valuable information later on in case you do develop into a serious injury. Because if you deny the ambulance and you go ahead and you go to the ball game, nobody's going to think you're hurt, even if you need surgery in weeks.
And after the emergency room, is it important that they get to their own doctor right away?
Well, of course it is, because the jury is, I always look at the beginning of a case in my final argument to the jury, and what I'm thinking is, what am I going to tell the jury here? Mr. Jones had an accident in Market Street, is minding his own business, he's rear-ended, and, they take him away, goes to the emergency room, but he waits a week before he sees any doctors. Well, the average juror, the average judge, and the average expert witness is going to say, well, he couldn't have been hurt that bad. Even though he's suffering every night, he can't sleep, he's taking medications and painkillers, it doesn't look authentic. And in personal injury, the entire game, the entire field is based on credibility. If you're not honest appearing, if it looks like you're just trying to get something for nothing, the jury's going to kill you, as they should. On the other hand, if it looks like you've really done everything reasonable that a practical person ought to do and get regular care, and you're sincere, the jury's going to see that you get proper compensation.
Now, when they go see a doctor, does the type of doctor they see matter, or perhaps the doctor's particular qualifications make any difference?
Well, it sure does. And of course, a lot of times, how do you know you're going to get a good doctor or a good lawyer for that matter, or even a good emergency room? Well, of the three, you can't choose your emergency room. It's going to be one that's closest to you. But boy, you want to spend some real quality time in trying to figure out the doctor. And usually, personal recommendations are best. And if you get a recommendation, you want to look them up online nowadays. Anybody worth their salt is going to have some kind of a record in Google. They're going to have some kind of a record. They're going to have a website. Dr. Ed, what's your website, for example?
Right. It's drcarmada.com.
And so that's real easy. And you look him up and look at his bona fides or her bona fides, see if it's going to be convenient. But that's what we do nowadays. It's, again, self-responsibility. Right. You find a doctor, that's much more important than finding a lawyer. Now, that's, again, it's contrary to what most lawyers want to tell you, but I'm telling you how it really works in the real world. People that are genuinely hurt see a doctor first. They don't see a lawyer first.
Hmm. Now, some people get hit pretty hard, where there's certainly lots of forces and potential for injury, but since they don't experience symptoms right away, they just say, you know, I don't think I was hurt, so I don't need to go see a doctor. Is that good, bad, or?
It could be a nightmare. Look, if it's a big hit, and we know it's a big hit because anybody can see it. You got the pictures. You got a Hummer that rear ends a Honda Civic, and the Honda Civic goes traveling across the intersection, goes into a brick wall, and the airbag goes off, okay? Well, there's a whole lot of mechanisms of injury taking place, and you may be a 6'2" guy that weighs 210 in good shape, but once you get hit in the rear in a small car by a big Hummer, once you travel through the intersection, then hit a brick wall, that's the second impact, and then the airbag goes off a fraction of a second later, that's a 200-mile-an-hour impact into face, body, and it creates a huge concussion plus a lot of physical injury. So lots of stuff is going on, and if you decide that you're going to tough it out, God love you, but you're not going to get much compensation. And then if things really fall apart later on, you're going to have to be telling everybody that, no, I really got hurt. And basically the spotlight of suspicion is trained right on you. I look at it this way. It's not so much how you feel, but do you have responsibilities? Do you have a family? And if you got a family and you got dependents, you have a duty to take care of yourself.
Well, in the example that you gave, maybe it is the brain injury that makes them think that they're not injured.
Oftentimes, the concussions are the hardest for folks to get their hands around.
Right.
Because a concussion could be lifelong. It's literally a form of brain injury. And many times the brain will heal itself, but sometimes the brain is the most complex part of our human anatomy. And it goes haywire or very subtly haywire, what we call cognitive losses. That is, your thinking, your decision-making, your emotions are rattled and changed and altered. And you're going to need help in putting that back together. That is the number one injury we have in the war. With our returning troops from Iraq and Iran, it's a concussion. It's the head injuries that are the most serious and many times the hardest to detect. There's a lot of science going into the study of those fields. Same thing, when you get hit hard, that rattles the brain and it creates a tremendous concussion problem.
Right. So do you sometimes recommend in cases like that they get referred to neurologists for workups and such?
Well, you go and see a primary doctor. And most Californians, their number one doctor in a car accident is a chiropractor, which makes sense because you got muscle problems, you got neck problems, you got low back problems. Most medical doctors don't touch personal injury cases because they're specialists, and that's fine. You know, you're not going to see a stomach doctor or an ear doctor or an eye doctor when you have a car wreck. And that's fine. The chiropractor is a general medicine or a general practitioner. And then some family medical doctors can also do this, but they don't have much expertise in auto accidents either. So chiropractors are the most popular. And if it looks like you got a concussion, if it looks like you got some unusual findings, the chiropractor has a legal and ethical duty to get you to the right neurologist, what I call either a neurosurgeon or a neurologist that specializes in head injuries, and he'll do an evaluation or she'll do an evaluation. And then report back to the doctor and for the next step.
Well, that sounds like good advice. Now, you gave us some advice on how to find a doctor. How do you what should people look for when they're choosing a personal injury attorney?
Well, again, it's reputational, there's several ways to do it. The one area that you should avoid the most are the TV attorneys. The TV attorneys are really advertising companies. I would tell you that many times they're not even real practicing attorneys. But, some clever marketer has put a package together built around the name of a person, and you call an 800 number, and suddenly you get, some person that's a telemarketer. That's how it usually works out with a TV attorney. But you look for reputation. You look him up online. I'm online, SeanSteele.com, SeanSteele.com. You look at my experience. You look at the jury we've had. You look at the statements that other people have talked about us. And if you want the names of some patients or that we have, or some clients that we have handled in your area, and if the clients agree, we'll be happy to give their name to you, for example. So it's reputational. You ask your doctor. Many times a doctor will know some good attorneys, and the doctor will certainly know a lot of bad attorneys.
I can attest to that. We're up against a short break here. We're speaking with attorney Sean Steele, an extremely successful attorney with offices throughout California, including in San Francisco. His phone number is 800-626-0003, and his website is Sean Steele, SeanSteele.com. We'll be right back after a short break. Okay, we're back from our break and back with more of attorney Sean Steele, a personal injury and trial lawyer with several offices in California. Mr. Steele, what role do lawyers and the law in general play in the healthcare system?
Quite a bit. When it comes particularly to automobile accidents, the lawyers are extremely influential. Whether it's a good idea or not, the lawyers control the money. If the money to pay the doctors, many times the lawyers have a role into influencing the patients, how long they should be treating. And of course, that depends entirely upon the ethical background of the lawyer. Because once you give some lawyers control of insurance money, that can be a very dangerous thing. And the number one reason why lawyers lose their license in the United States, particularly in California, is that they can't keep their hands out of the trust account, that is the patient's money. So it's something that's terribly involved. But many times lawyers can be very helpful, and they can see that the doctors. And particularly the hospitals. The hospitals are very pernicious. They charge way too much money. Everybody knows it. A hospital may be losing money because they got to take care of illegal aliens and such. But on the other hand, anybody that comes in with any kind of insurance, a hospital sometimes gets really greedy and they want to charge that person, three or four or 10 times more than the average charge should be. So a good lawyer looks at that and makes sure that the patient doesn't get overbilled. So a lawyer can only do that if they have experience. Hopefully they specialize in personal injury. You don't want to get a lawyer unless he's a specialist in this field. There's a lot of good lawyers out there that would do great on contracts and fish and game law and maybe immigration law, but for heaven's sakes, on personal injury, it's highly specialized, and you got to have somebody that knows what they're doing.
So not only do we need a lawyer that knows what they're doing, which is critical, but it sounds like the integrity and the ethics of a lawyer is equally as important.
I think that's probably even – I go for honesty against experience any time, but it's nice to get both.
Okay, so what about the patient that comes in and says, it's obvious to me I chose the wrong lawyer, and they already retained the lawyer, they've had a pretty significant car accident. How do they go about changing to someone like yourself?
That's a great idea, and doesn't need to be me, but I have a rule. I don't think that every lawyer is a crook that belongs in jail and ought to be flogged upon sight. I think about half the lawyers are decent. But there's maybe 50% of the lawyers in general that are not decent. And those are the ones to avoid. So what do you got? You got a 50-50 shot in getting burned, just on the natural. If you think you got a lawyer that's not helping you, for whatever reason, he's too busy, doesn't care, doesn't return your phone calls, or just doesn't give you good feelings that he's a good person, you better fire him quick. Because the easiest thing to do in California is to fire a lawyer and get a new one. But if you wait too long, the old lawyer behind the fire is going to demand too much money out of your case. So the sooner you get rid of that lawyer that you don't trust or like, then the better and more attractive your case is to a new lawyer. Because a new lawyer does all the hard work. He's the one that gets a hold of the old lawyer and says, hey, you're out of business. Your ex-client has now hired me. Don't ever talk to your ex-client again. I'm in charge. So they have to work out who gets paid what. It's not the patient's headache. So that's very convenient, but don't wait too long.
Okay.
It's easy to fire lawyers in California.
Now, you know, I like your 50% you have to be careful with, because all I ever hear is that 99% of the bad lawyers ruin it for all of them. But as far as changing lawyers, now, is that something that could hurt the case?
No. Generally, you know, there's a patient, maybe one out of 500 that'll change lawyers like they change shoes, and you get too many lawyers and you don't have much of a case, and then all those lawyers have to share the same fee, and so generally the case doesn't go very far, but that's rare. But I think it's important that the patient use their intuition. And make a judgment, a value judgment, whether or not the lawyer is best there to support their family.
Well, sure, that's great advice. Now, when people have a car accident, they go to you. Do they have to come up with a big upfront fee to have someone like you represent them?
Well, this is one of the beautiful things about our Anglo-Saxon law. In personal injury, it's called contingency. And most lawyers who specialize in the field do not demand a hefty upfront fee. It's all contingency. It means if I like your case and I think I can help you, I'm going to take your case on not charging you. I get paid at the end of the case. And the beauty is, and this is very important for the client to understand, you control the case. The client controls the case to the very last day. Because the lawyer can settle the case. The lawyer can decide how the money should be distributed. The lawyer can make a suggestion of how much money you're supposed to get, but you, the patient, the client, never has to sign anything. The lawyer makes suggestions, but you make the decisions.
Now, what kinds of things have you seen your clients do to unintentionally sabotage their cases?
Well, that's a great question. I suppose one of the things they do is they fall out of the treatment pattern. In other words, they work with an ethical doctor. The doctor suggests, look, you've got this going on with you. Here's the x-rays. Here's what the orthopedist said. Here's the evidence. And you're probably going to be treating with me for the next 3 months, you know, 2 to 3 times a week. And then the patient decides, this happens particularly with younger people. They decide, no, my girlfriend wants to see me and I'm too busy. And so they don't finish treatment. We settle the case for a very small amount of money. And then the patient comes back 6 months needing surgery. And then he asked me, and this happens way too often. He said, can you reopen my case? I said, no, you stopped seeing the doctor. You know, we had all the medical records. You said you were not going to go back and see the doctor anymore. We settled the case. And once you sign the papers of the settlement, you can never, ever reopen it. So that's the biggest area of sabotage right there, is not taking care of themselves.
Okay. Now, basically, what are the basic rights that an injured person has after they've been in a car accident or some other personal injury with substantial damages? Is there like a list of specific rights that they have?
Sure there are. Patients have a right to compensation. That's really what it comes down to, a lawyer. Now, in the meanwhile, you got to take responsibility in hiring the right lawyer that's best for you and your family, hiring the best doctor that's best for you. But on the bigger level, all this stuff that you're going through, getting the car fixed, getting a tow car, getting bills from the emergency room, losing time from work, losing overtime, getting disabled to a certain extent, all that, the law, the American and English systems for hundreds of years, over 1,000 years, have developed a process for getting you're compensated. So everything's compensated. If the glasses break that you're wearing in your car, you get the value of those glasses back. Your car gets fixed. Even the time it took to get your car fixed gets compensated. And it's very specific. There's no wishy-washy on it. It's very, very well outlined. But you get your medical bills. You get your loss of earnings. You get your potential loss of earnings. You get a thing that's called emotional distress if it's an unusually severe accident. And then, of course, you get something that's called pain and suffering. And that's something that only the Western world has, and only English and American law has. You go to any other country, and they don't care if you have pain and suffering. You just don't get it. You're lucky to get your bills paid.
So those are the legal rights, but in many cases, I think we both know that sometimes they need you to get those for them, since the insurance company isn't going to want to just hand those out.
Well, insurance companies are not in business to make you happy.
Right,
they're
right.
They're in business to sell a lot of premiums and then not to pay on when there's a debt.
Okay,
and it
well,
makes perfectly good sense. So it's an adversarial system, and that's why you need lawyers on the serious case.
Well, one thing you might explain, I understand that you take cases on contingency and get paid after the case is done, but oftentimes people need medical or chiropractic treatment, and they may not be able to pay for that, and therefore a lien is filed. Could you sort of explain what this lien is that allows injured people to get care even when they don't have the cash to pay for it up front?
It's an important role. There's a lot of folks that have insurance, but it's sporadic, or it's not complete coverage. And most folks who have insurance have no idea how it works or how good it is or how much it'll pay. So what we do, and this is something carefully developed after a long period of time, is that that you would find a doctor with the help of the attorney or by yourself, and the doctors that really concentrate and do accident cases really will take care of you and generally charge a very small copay, or not much at all. But you have to sign a lien agreement, and that's a contract. It's a good contract. It's a valid contract, and it says that the patient's always responsible for the bills, but the doctor's going to wait. The doctor's going to wait to get their bill paid in full when the case is settled by the lawyer. That's a great deal, and that helps a lot of people. In other words, you don't have to wait 3 or 4 weeks to verify your insurance while you're suffering, because as I told you earlier, you have an accident, you got to get care right away or you lose all credibility.
Well, Mr. Steele, you have been an excellent resource here, from how to get treatment, how to get it paid for, how to pick an attorney, a doctor, etc. We're running out of time here. I do want to again give him your website, SHAWN Steele, STEEL.com, and your phone number at 800-626-0003. Again, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us to give this information to our listeners.
Dr. Ed, it's great being associated with you. You have an outstanding reputation, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to our friends in the Bay Area.
Great. Thanks very much. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.